guns.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out an all-points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention.
A new world
order. Attention.
The government is the problem. It is an emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens. What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones. Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Hello, 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 hello. It's now time to start the official version of the live Dutch Jones radio program. It is Thursday, the 21st of April, 2011. I am Dutch Jones, and we're coming to you live from Camp Kauia here in the Kauia Commonwealth, Central California, Sierra Nevada Mountains. And we come here when we can because of internet and my abilities. Sometimes we don't. We weren't here yesterday. I was just torn up. We cut down that tree, and then the next day I went out and weed whacked for about 5 hours, and I couldn't get out of my recliner, so I just did astronaut training all evening until Bible study. And even then, it was funny. There were like 5 or 6 of us walking all funny after cutting down that tree. So that's why we didn't do the show yesterday. I wasn't taken off the planet by aliens or anything. But I am Dutch Jones, and I'm doing the best I can with what we have here with our limited bandwidth. So if we lock up and things like that today, I don't know why. It's clear blue sky, beautiful, a few chemtrails up there, some fluffy clouds, nice breeze. So I don't know why the satellite's not working, but I keep locking up. Stacy's having problems. You'll hear her mumbling in the background. And we do the best we can. So thank you to everyone that's tuned in here. I see there's a few people in the chat room, and welcome to our pod people who download at later times, and all those folks that pick us up off other feeds. Thank you so much. Now, Warlin was on trying to play some bagpipe music. I couldn't hear it, but that may just be my computer. We got to work that out. We got to figure out how we can help Warlin get his music on. He's a frustrated DJ. He wants to get his music out there and topics and things. I spent the day today studying a little document, and if you go to truthistreason.net, truthistreason.net on their main page, you're going to find something there that is very alarming, and I found out about this, and we're just going to jump right into it. The U.S. Government Printing Office got an order for 350,934 national detainee handbooks to be printed before April 29th. Now, they got this on the 18th. I'm going to start out slow and build here. They got the request on the 18th from Homeland Security, U.S. Customs, all that kind of stuff, and for these detainee handbooks. It's exactly what you think it is. It's a handbook for people that are in federal custody dealing with Homeland Security and Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Now, there was a previous one that's out there circulating now from 2007, and I was able to look that one up and read through it today, and we're going to share some of that with you. But they want to have another 350,934 of these. Now, two-thirds of them are in English, and a third of them will be in Spanish, which is funny because if it's like the old one that was out, according to the serial number that's on it and everything, and you can go Google all that stuff after you see the link. If it's for illegal immigration, like the one in 2007 claims it is, for deportations, why are they in English? And, you know, why are so many in English? And two, as far as I know, none of the camps, remember Camp FEMA? All these camps that they claim were for rounding up illegal aliens and deporting them, not one of them has been activated. Does anyone, am I wrong here? I mean, are people seeing thousands and thousands of folks being rounded up and detained for their illegal alien status? No, it's been the opposite, in fact. They haven't been doing it. So why all of a sudden do they need, you know, a third or just over a third of a million of these on top of the previous ones that they had printed about it. So about 700,000 of these manuals. And I've read dozens of sites. Everybody's on this. All the usual names are talking about it in the movement here. And the scary thing about these books is that they're just written so dang friendly. I was reading them. Someone was here just before we went to the show time, and I was reading. I was like, you do not have the right to refuse search and seizure of your property. Failure to allow search of your property will result in felony charges and punishment and all kinds of stuff like that in there. And
you have no rights
at all. And it's like what we talked about when our soldier was attacked by the Department of Justice. It's a bureaucratic administrative action. It has nothing to do with the Constitution anymore. So these detainee books are just that. But why the rush? Now, anybody that's ever worked in public service, such as I have, well, the majority of my life has been in public service, you don't get anything done that fast in government unless you have a stamp of approval from the highest executive in your branches. You can't just go to a print shop, a government print shop, and say, hey, I need these flyers made up for next weekend. Well, why didn't you submit it 6 months ago? Where are your approvals? Where's this? Where's that? Where's your budgeting? What department's paying for this? You don't get 350,000 of anything printed up without a PO number, without approval, without planning. And the really weird thing about this is it was up for a couple of days, and then when a couple people found it, they yanked it. They pulled it off. Fortunately, some people did frame stores. And if you go to the link that I'm going to put up again here, I don't know if anybody else is having trouble with the link. Let me know, guys, because it works for me. Truthisreason.net, and just look for U.S. Government Printing Office needs 350,934 National Detainee Handbooks. It's on their page. Now, the rush scares me, for one. And it also indicates, like I said, anybody who's somebody, all the way up to Napolitano and probably the president, had to approve this for it to go through this fast. And the places that they're going to be sending it, we have to watch. And the fact that they took it down, but somebody did a frame store so you could read it. So go to when you go on there, you'll see it says Google, Google what? Cache? On the page that I just gave you, say Google Cache, and you can look at the page, and then there's a place there that you can actually read the 2007 handbook. Now, what I don't understand is, if they have a bunch of these sitting that they haven't used because they haven't been deporting anybody, what are the changes they're making? It's not going to be about deportation, perhaps. Is this getting ready for some false flag? Is this shaking the tree to see how many of us would talk about it? Now, there was a phone number on there. If you go to the page, the person that's in charge of the project, I called and have left messages for an interview, and of course they're going unanswered. I think I called three times today. I just called moments before I went on the air again. They're not going to call me back. But I want to know why the rush. What changes are being made? Is there someplace I can go and see the new ones? Can I have a new one sent to me? Because the writing on it's very friendly. And they're like, oh, for the family of the detainees. And other people are saying things like, well, this is what they're going to hand out when you're getting on the bus to go to the FEMA camps. Maybe. And I've got some theories on this. The low end, the very low end theory after reading a lot of posts is maybe Obongo's tired of his low approval rating and he's going to do something to appease the Tea Party people and the moderates, which are easily influenced. And go around and do some roundups. Do some symbolic roundups. Nothing like Eisenhower did. We're not going to see Operation Wetback, but maybe he's going to round up some illegal aliens. Okay, but then why aren't they all in Spanish? Why are the majority of them in English? But that would be a temporary thing. Plus, it would hurt him with his base if he went after the Latino community like that. That would be racist of Obongo to do that. Very unusual for that. I thought, well, maybe it's just a false flag to put out there to shake our cage a little bit, rattle the cage so he sees who calls that number. That's fine, too. I don't mind taking their bait once in a while. And then thirdly, this is what I've come to the conclusion. This is the vast majority of postings that I've seen, and I bounced it off the pastor this morning, and I bounced it off a few people here with our group. And maybe they're getting ready to collapse the dollar. Maybe there's going to be a huge financial disaster sometime in May, maybe May Day. Wouldn't that be appropriate? May 1st, May Day, Communist National Holiday. That's why they need them by April 29th, so they can make sure that they're all in place for the roundups. And they know there's going to be rioting. Maybe they're going to say, hey, we're stopping welfare, we're stopping food stamps, we're stopping Social Security, we're stopping Medi-Cal, Medicaid, all those good things. Well, Medi-Cal's California, but... And they know that there's going to be at least 750,000 angry people that are going to go to the streets. Because quite frankly, I don't see them rounding up 750,000 angry illegal aliens. I just don't. So it's you know, it doesn't sound like, because if we're 3% of the population of 340 million, they're going to need a lot more handbooks than that, than less than a million. You know, they're going to need a lot more. You know, ideally they're going to need at least 3.4 million. Am I doing my math right? You guys, I wasn't homeschooled. I was public school, so help me out with that. Let's say 3% of the population, 3% of 300 million is 3, 9, 10. Let's say they need 10 million handbooks. They're going to need at least 10 million handbooks, right? So why, unless they've already got them stored, and you put this with the other stuff that they're doing. Now, I'm going to throw some things out here for you. I'm going to say them slow so that you kind of see where I'm building the puzzle pieces are fitting in. We've all heard about the body bags on New Madrid, the New Madrid fault. They're buying all the body bags. They're buying up all kinds of freeze-dried food, long storage food. They're telling their key personnel to have 6 months' worth of food and to get out of the cities. Napolitano's doing that. They're hiring detention officers. Remember last year when I told you all about the ads running for detention officers for National Guard and Reservists? There is a new story out that they're hiring transportation specialists for moving people and products by rail, the federal government, Homeland Security. Thanks. I guess my math was right. So they're looking at moving a lot of people from different regions to other regions. If you look on the order there, you'll see where the PDF files are to be or where the things are to be delivered. It's strategic places around the country. If you look on that webpage that I posted there. And they're getting ready for something. Even if it's just false flag, we've got to be ready. And we've got gold hitting $1,500 an ounce yesterday, I think it was. Silver's at $45 an ounce, which means the dollar is being deflated. Oil's been fluctuating between $108 and $120, $21 a barrel. You've got Obongo running around the country on his campaign drive accusing American citizens of being cowards and mean. They're moving the chess pieces, and I know I say that all the time, and nothing ever happens. You know, I picked a few dates out where, you know, I'm supposed to be riding in the streets and it didn't happen. And I said, that's fine. I'm just going by what I see. I'm not a prophet. I'm just a strategic analyst with no training trying to figure this out. But... It's starting to fit together, and if you live by some of these ICE compounds, we need you to start letting us know if you see a lot of staff being hired, food trucks coming in, are they getting ready for something? We had reports down in Florida of helicopters practicing landing people on roofs down there. I think it was Miami. Things going on all over the place. And they continue to do that. It's like they just slowly are turning up the heat. But then you see something like this. It's like they made a mistake. They posted it publicly. It was hidden. If you look at it, and some people looked at it first, go, oh, it's just an order for an ROTC leadership manual. Read below that. Go down another paragraph. They hid it in an order for an ROTC leadership manual. And that's how they do things. Sometimes they're not perfect. They screw up and they let things leak. But anybody who knows anything about the federal government will see the red flags saying, wait a minute, look how they're doing this, look at the number that they want. And then when you read this thing, it tells you, you know, you have these rights, but you don't have these rights. I encourage you when you get a chance to download it. We can't download it where we're at. I'll have to download it on Monday when we're down in the valley. Men of the valley will be down in the valley, way down in the valley. I heard a mighty roar. I used to love singing that song when we marched. Anyway, I digress. I don't know. What do you guys think about this? Let me give out the phone number. I'm looking for calls on this. Is this something you're alarmed about? Is this just another piece in the wall? Do you think I'm overreacting? 559-346-8362. 559-346-8362. And let's flip the coin over there. What, Stace?
My computer.
Oh, the computer's messing up. I mean, does this change anything for you? I mean, I'm just as armed and just as prepared as I was before I heard about this. I'm sorry that I didn't find out about it on the 18th. Here it is, the 21st, 1, 2, 3 days later. But I have you guys know I've been busy. I haven't been scouring the blogs and things like that. But and other people, there's videos out there on it now. There's all kinds of stuff going on, and people are reacting. It's got the off the grid community up in a tizzy as best we can be. But this and yeah, let me find the download link here. Somebody's asking for it. Okay, so if I open this, stand by, guys. Stand by for news. What?
It won't let me log in.
It won't let you log in?
Yeah.
Okay, well, Stacy can't get in the chat room, guys. It's not that she doesn't want to say hi and participate. It just, okay, where is this? By the way, this goes to Patriot Hacker Cryptagon, who found it first. Okay. I think if I click here, English version. Oh, right here. This is what I wanted. Let me find this. I'll get you the download English version here to download it so you guys can download and read it. And the person who ordered it, the government stooge's name, Ron Boyum, B-O-Y-U-M. Let me give you his phone number, too. Ron Boyum. He's not in his office right now. 312-353-3916, extension 17. In fact, let me just post this. Well, that's, let me see here. He's listing it as a time-critical order. And let me show you that, where I got that from, those of you that haven't. Why isn't it letting me copy, Lou?
Control-C.
All right, too late. Okay, this is the website here. It's good, Lou. Hello, who do we have?
Yeah, hey, Dutch, this is Warland.
Hey, Warland, what's your take on all this? And I'll let you run with it.
Oh, it's insane. Completely insane. Oh, man. I'm just driven nuts by it.
I posted it earlier. Have you taken a look at it and read through it yet like I have? Or you?
I've just been scanning through it. I saved it onto my hard drive, so in case they do anything to it again, I can call it up.
Yeah, I can't believe they keep blocking it and taking it down. And it's up on about 12 mirror sites now where people have got it, so God bless the folks that are fighting that one. And I got it too. If you're in the chat room, I'm posting the information on the people that are actually printing it and what they're saying, so you guys can call, email him, and this guy and find out. Dutch, I need to get a plane ticket to come to Korea. Sergeant Slade, that's right. Yeah, we wish more people could be here as this stuff's getting closer to the drop-off point when they're going to start dropping off troops at us. So people are saying they want to get here and do stuff, and you know, things are getting scarier. Now, when you look through it, when you first saw this, what did you think? Because I've had some people say, oh, it's you're fear-mongering. This is just for illegal aliens. There's nothing to worry about. You know, what do you think?
Well, I don't think it is for the illegals at all. It's probably going to be for American citizens to be locked up at any time.
And deported. It's talking about deportation of people, too. And what's funny is people go, well, that'll never happen. I go, all you need to do is study Lincoln. Lincoln exiled, because that's the true term. You're not being deported if you're a citizen of the U.S. He exiled people during the War of Northern Aggression that didn't write articles that he liked, or politicians that argued with him and didn't want to give him funding. So they may be doing that. They declare you a combatant to the regime, they'll exile you to some foreign country.
Right, right. What are you considered, like an enemy detainee or some type of nonsense like that?
Sure.
They just label you anything they want, and they're gonna make the label stick no matter what. This is incredible. This has gone way too far.
Well, what's surprising to me is that they put it out there even for a few hours and then realized what they had done and went, uh-oh, we need to take it back. And then, let me see here. Did I go to it? No, I didn't. Let me go to it here, National Detainee. And the one from 2007 just reads like, welcome to Fat Camp. Today you'll be staying in, you know, cell block C. It's trying to make it, says, you know, the government employees are here to help you. Please be nice to them. Do not destroy government property. You know, please obey all rules and regulations, even the ones you don't know. I'm looking at the cover sheet right now, table of contents, and it's everything for access to typewriters and computers. The person, I had someone look at it that's in a retired correctional officer, and he says it looks like they just stole a basic handbook from, you know, state penitentiaries and then added some other stuff. And I love this. Here's the introduction. The U.S. Department of Homeland Security, U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, Office of Detention and Removal Operations, DRO, Detention and Removal Operations. I mean, that sounds pretty ominous, doesn't it?
Wow, wow. So thugs.
Well, like this. It says, your responsibilities. It is our policy to treat detainees with dignity and respect while maintaining a safe, secure, and sanitary detention facility. To assist us with maintaining a safe, secure, and sanitary facility, please cooperate with our staff in the following respects. Familiarize yourself with all rules, policies, and procedures of the facility where you are detained, and we expect you to comply accordingly. Comply with directions given by staff members and contract security personnel. Contract security personnel. Who do you think that is, Warlin?
What would that be, a private security outfit?
Yeah, it's going to be like XE and that one that we saw up in, I think it was Montana or Minnesota, where that one came in and took over the town. Please be respectful towards staff and other detainees. I love that. Be respectful of government property, facility property, and property of other detainees. Try to maintain yourself, your clothing, and your living area in a clean condition. I like this. When addressing the staff, refer to staff members by their title and last name, i.e. Dr. Jones, Officer Smith, Nurse Clark. Yeah, they don't want you knowing the whole name of the people. And it's, you know, they're just a whole, it's reminding me of the open scenes of Cool Hand Luke, you know, where they're telling you what the rules are and where you are. Oh, boy, this thing's jumping around on me. You have the right to be informed of the rules, procedures, and schedules concerning the operation of the facility where you are detained. I like this. You have the responsibility to know them and abide by them. You have the right to freedom of religious affiliation and to voluntary religious worship that does not detrimentally affect others or the good orders of security of the facility. You have the responsibility to recognize and respect the rights of other religious groups. Pretty interesting they're putting this stuff in here. It's total 1984 stuff. You have the right to reasonable care. You have the right to have family members and friends visit with you according to the facility's rules and schedules. That's where they get you. It is your responsibility to conduct yourself properly during visits and do not accept or pass contraband. You have the right to unrestricted and confidential access to your attorney and the courts by correspondence. Presentation of your case is your responsibility in consultation with your attorney. I don't know what that means. You have the right to legal counsel. If your response is, I like this one. It's not, you know, if you can't afford an attorney, one will be appointed to. It says it is your responsibility to obtain an attorney. They took out that Miranda right. You have the right to legal counsel. Yeah, it's your responsibility to obtain a services of an attorney. If they've detained you and you can't get out, how are you going to get an attorney?
Right.
Let's see here. You have the right to a wide range of reading materials. Yeah. Except the Bible, I bet. They probably won't let you have the Bible in your cell because it could be a weapon or offend a Muslim.
I'm sure they'll provide a Chinese Communist manifesto to you.
Yeah. You may be authorized for release on bond until your scheduled administrative hearing. See the word administrative? Remember what I told you last week about the soldier? It's a bureaucratic administrative procedure. It's no longer a constitutional hearing. That's right in there. You may be authorized for release on bond until your scheduled administrative hearing. It is your responsibility to seek methods of payment for your own bond. You have the right for political asylum. I don't know. Maybe another country would take you. Let's see. There's a lot of good stuff in here. The one I'm reading is from 2007, and a lot of it has to do with illegal immigration, but they never instituted any of this. You'll be provided with hygiene, a medical exam. That's where they delouse you in the showers, I think. No personal items will be allowed on your bunk, walls, or windows. Let's see. Wow, a lot of good stuff. You're allowed to have a pencil and paper and envelopes. No pens are allowed. Approved medical providers will conduct a thorough medical exam within 14 days after your arrival. Medical staff or trained officers will also conduct a pre-screening interview to assess your physical and mental health. That's where they declare you a loony and then hold you forever. Mm-hmm. If you prefer, you may request to speak directly with medical staff about your health concerns. Cannot be shared. Let's see. Your access to your legal file. Yeah. Tell it to all these people that have been held incognito where their parents haven't been allowed to see them because they supposedly made a bomb threat to the White House. So this is just a bunch of fluff they're putting out there. A detention record is maintained by the facility for each individual, which includes documents such as facility disciplinary actions, behavior reports, receipts for funds, valuables, and properties, detainees' written requests, complaints, and issues, the U.S. government response to those, special housing unit records. You will be classified before you are placed. Let's see, they'll put you in whether you're, you know, a patriot or Christian. All kinds of stuff here, man. This stuff is scary.
Wow.
Yeah. It's funny. It's like they're putting in the infrastructure first, which were all the camps that they built. Now they're putting in all the rules and regulations, and they're staffing them now. You may not refute. This is the one I want to show you. Inspections of persons and property. All searches are used as a means of interdicting contraband and ensuring safe and sanitary conditions in the facilities. Searches are not intended to be punitive in nature. Tell that to the anybody that's ever had a body cavity search, they're very punitive. You will be subject to search of your body and your property under admission to the facility. After your arrival, you will find that searches are routine requirements when entering the housing units. They're going to violate you constantly. Or when leaving a visiting area. Routine unannounced searches of the facilities, detainees, and property will be conducted and deemed necessary. Strip searches may be conducted as deemed necessary when the facility has reasonable suspicion to believe the detainee may be concealing a weapon or other contraband. You may not refuse to be searched. It is your responsibility to follow the instructions given to you by the staff assigned to manage your custody. Failure to follow lawful legal. We're going to take a break right now. I'm going to get back to that because that lawful legal thing is annoying lawful. Me. We're going to continue to talk. Yeah. Thanks for calling in, Worland. I appreciate it. If you want to call in after the break, that'll be good too. Anybody else wants to call in, I'll give out the number again. So thanks for calling in, Worland.
Somebody else calling.
Okay, sure. I'm going to go more into this. I can't. You may not refuse to be searched. Period. We'll be right back after the break. I'm Dutch Commandant Jones.
Defend their great democracy. Though my vote in the last election didn't quite match the same projection. Maybe those beautiful talking heads on my TV. And when I called them to complain, and I asked them to explain, they just said that it proves that you're not in the groove of the new majority. Yeah, sure. Well, just between you and me, can't you feel the conspiracy? Can't you sense the hypocrisy, as they call it, democracy? Well, it's a threat to your sanity, and not to mention your liberty. And it's all an evil, filthy, rotten conspiracy. Now they've got microwaves and laser beams and rays to look inside your dreams and satellites that can see your DVDs. They got chips that fit inside your head that'll make you think their thoughts instead, and drugs that'll make you do just as they please. And to make things even more serious, they got strains of new bacteria that are surely to cause some unknown new disease. And that's why we got fear and high anxiety and paranoid perplexity and the gradual loss of all our liberties. And as they try to bring us all down, they might leave us with a frown. They might even be the source of all the rumors in this town. Well, just between you and me, can't you feel the conspiracy? Can't you sense the hypocrisy, as they call it, democracy? Well, it's a threat to your sanity, and not to mention your liberty. And it's all an evil, filthy, rotten conspiracy.
Mm-hmm. direct our mail and all our incoming phone calls to the Central Intelligence Agency. We'll just hope and pray someday they'll see that you and me are not the enemy, nor do we believe in cult theology. And as their police try to bust us, we'll keep trying to find some justice, though it's hidden behind a wall of masonry. We'll keep working out our salvation with the feeling of fear and trembling, hoping and praying someday the truth might set us all free. Just cause the media won't respond don't mean there's nothing going on. And brother, what'll you do if there's something to all the words inside this song? Well, you can say that I'm wild-eyed, that all my fears are unjustified, or that I'm totally mystified by a man who's crucified. But just between you and me, what hung him up on that tree? It was all an evil, filthy, rotten conspiracy. It's all an evil, filthy, rotten conspiracy. Believe me.
It's the third time I've said that. I'll probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in, to kind of catapult the propaganda.
When the crash does come, when there is a natural disaster, during civil unrest, the last thing you want to be is a refugee. So check out DutchJones.info. That's www.DutchJones.info. We have the supplies you need and the information you will need. That's www.DutchJones.info.
Patton coming in.
That's a good one called Ghost of the Morning, a little bumper music we downloaded for you guys. Lou's always finding good stuff. Great question here, but first let me recap for those of you that are coming in late. Welcome to the Dutch Jones Radio Program, coming to you from Camp Kuia, the Christian Militant Worldview, where we try to keep you up on the things that are happening, and we're a little late on this one. It started on the 18th of April. The Department of Homeland Security requested a fast-track printing of 351,000, right around there, of these detainee handbooks that to give to people in these little camps that they have everywhere. We've all seen, we've seen Camp FEMA, they're everywhere, on how to be a good detainee. Two-thirds of them are in English, one-third is in Spanish. There was one printed in 2007, and I'm reading from the one in 2007. It was posted on the 18th. The order was hidden in a request for a ROTC training manual order. And what's unusual about this is they wanted it in 11 days, the 18th to the 29th. They need it by the 29th. Government doesn't move that fast. Somebody had to approve this all the way at least to Janet Reno. See, I just said it again, Janet Reno. Janet Napolitano, Butch too. It's like, why? It's... What is it with lesbians in high positions? Anyway, they need this book, and I'm reading from the old book. We don't know what's been changed. They're making it sound like in the old book like it was for ICE to deport people, but they never deported anyone. They had about 350,000 of those printed, so that means they have about 700,000 of them now sitting on the shelves, or they will have by the end of this month. And I'm reading a little bit about what it says in those things. Now, someone asked a question. I think it was General Carver. I got a sergeant and a general in the room. Sergeant or General Carver asked, do you think this is a trigger to start doing the concentration camps like Nazi Germany? Is this really going to start killing people? Well, if you listen to the show for a while, you know that I believe that that's the ultimate goal. I believe the Georgia Guidestones, they want to run the population down to just 500 million and make it manageable for them to control their power elite estates and their plantations, and we'll be the new slaves. Do I think this is that? No, I don't think we're there yet. But I think this is definitely a step in that direction. I think it's a tolerance test to see what happens when they go around up undesirables and put them in those camps that we saw in Camp FEMA, in those prisons run by contractors. and, you know, the little swing sets in the playgrounds inside jails. Because we know they're not going to round up illegal aliens. It's just not going to happen. Period. Not going to happen. No way, no how. So this is for us, folks. So we're going to get back to the handbook here that was printed in 2007. And I was talking about searches and seizures while in the camp. And here's a paragraph that you really, really need to listen to here. This is in their own handbook, printed 2007 by Homeland Security. You may not refuse to be searched. It is your responsibility to follow the instructions given to you by the staff assigned to manage your custody. Failure to follow lawful legal direction. Now, let's talk what's lawful and what's legal. You know, they're throwing these terms in here for a reason. May result in disciplinary or criminal action being taken against you. So if you refuse to let the staff of these camps search you, they're gonna pile it on. Refusal to search may also result in your segregation from the general population and placement in an isolation cell to ensure your safety and the safety of others. You're a danger to yourself and others. Isn't that what they did to our sergeant last week or week before? You're a danger to yourself and others. We're going to isolate you, and you don't have a right not to be searched. It's a bureaucratic administrative action. Isn't that right, Stace? Can we hear you?
Yes.
You're whispering in her mic. Let's see. Yeah, I can hear it over there. So focus on what I'm saying here, folks. And then it goes into contraband and smuggling things in, and this is all the administrative hoopla that they want. And I love this. You are responsible for ensuring that you are not in possession of any item that could be considered contraband and for knowing the rules regarding contraband items in the facility where you are detained. Possession of contraband may result in disciplinary action being taken against you. Unauthorized property, they go into, you know, basically what it is. Anything basically that you can use to communicate with the outside or defend yourself. They don't want you, because that's where they're going to kill people. They're going to put you in there, and they're going to put in a handful of MS-13, some street gang people, some new Black Panther Party people they may round up, and they're going to manipulate the environment to get you killed if you're a Christian patriot. I don't doubt that for a second. Am I being paranoid? If you think I am, I want to hear it from you. 559-346-8362. Am I making a mountain out of a molehill? 559-346-8362. Let me take a look at the chat room. I hope I answered your questions. Yeah, I like it. General Cover says, oh, what a relief. I mean, hey, all they really care about is your safety and the safety of others. It's okay, guys. Be good. Good comment there. Let's see. Administrative segregation and special housing can be done if you are pending investigation and or hearing for disciplinary violations. If you need medical observation, yeah, because every patriot Christian's crazy. Are pending a transfer or release within 24 hours. If you're a security risk, now what's that mean? Somebody who's got ex-military training and escape and evasion like some of us? If you need protective custody, yeah, we have to put you in protective custody because we told all those Nation of Islam guys over there that you hate Islam. All detainees located in administrative segregation shall have their cases reviewed within 3 working days of being placed in that unit. You may appeal to the administrative segregation order or review. Now, what they consider a disciplinary risk would be if you're a detainee who is a serious disruption in general population. Does that mean if you get caught reading your Bible or demanding that you get to see your lawyer? If you require secure physical confinement, yeah, you don't like being probed, so you fight back. Have received a disciplinary sanction by the Institutional Disciplinary Panel, the IDP. The IDP, Institutional Disciplinary Panel. Wonder what kind of perverts and sickos are going to put on that. Probably be appointed by Obongo and Butch, too. A case review will be conducted on all detainees placed in the segregation every 7 days. And I'm just going through this reading off the top. I'm not making any of this up. Let's see. Criminal violations. Use of force. Officers may use physical force only after all reasonable efforts to resolve a detainee situation have failed. Officers shall use as little force as necessary to gain control of the detainee, to protect and ensure the safety, their safety again, of detainees, staff, and others, to prevent serious property damage, to ensure the security and orderly operation of the facility. Yeah, you're not moving along fast enough in a line, they can whack you with an asp. Physical restraint shall be used under specified conditions to gain control of a detainee that is endangering himself or self or other. They'll put shock collars on you. You are encouraged to speak informally with staff about everyday concerns and for information about facility policies and procedures. Once a week, the staff will visit the facility and talk with the team. They're going to have a little town hall meeting with you in the pod. Okay, everybody, is everybody good? Everybody got enough toilet paper? How's everybody's mind control drugs? Anybody having an adverse reaction? You may submit written questions, requests, or concerns to facility or staff using a detainee request form. ask your housing officer for a request form. Yeah, I'm sorry, but I keep getting gang raped by the guards. Could you please stop that? No, I'm sorry, request denied. To grievance system, this is all administrative stuff. This is the last step of a tyranny. You know, making sure that everything's in line. They're going to count. You'll see here. Please remember that it is your responsibility to be present and counted during any population count and to follow the instructions of staff conducting the count. Failure to stand for the count so that you can be counted is grounds for disciplinary action, and you will be probed in the shower later. I just added that last part. During all official counts, no movement or talking is permitted. You will be silent for the paperwork. Any disruptions during counts may result in a lockdown of the unit involved, and disciplinary action may be taken against any detainees contributing to the disruption. Don't play by their rules. Stun grenade gets thrown in. Medical care. Suicide prevention. Let's take a look at this one, because a lot of people are going to commit suicide in there. There are going to be mass suicides. Watch. If you are feeling depressed, think you may harm yourself or need someone to talk to, you should immediately advise your housing unit officer. You will be referred to the appropriate medical professional. All potentially suicidal or severely depressed individuals are treated with sensitivity and receive the proper referrals.
The other one, homicide prevention.
Homicide prevention? I haven't gotten to that yet. Lou wants to know about homicide prevention. I don't have your mic up, sorry. If you are raped, beaten, assaulted, contact your housing unit officer or unit supervisor. You may file a grievance. Yeah, I keep being...
They probably won't do nothing.
No, they probably won't. I thought that was working, but it's not. I'm sorry. You'll have to speak up louder, Stace. Let's see. You may file a complaint directly, and it has the address to send it to 245 Murray Drive, Southeast Building 410, Washington, D.C., in case you get raped. Notify a relative or friend, and they can contact someone for you. If you are sexually abused or assaulted, they have an address to send it to in Washington. Why don't you just flush it down the toilet? You'll have more reaction that way. Access to a telephone access to attorneys. It is your responsibility to follow the rules of the facility on telephones. It's basic prison stuff. And it doesn't really say you're entitled to make free telephone calls to the following entities: to national consulates, to the courts, to immigration courts, pro bono attorneys, or free legal aid groups recognized by the Executive Office for Review, the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, Office of the Inspector General. So I can call Homeland Security and harass them for free. I'd be on that phone every 15 minutes making prank calls. If you experience any problems with the serviceability of your pro bono telephone system, please report it in writing. Consular and general visitation. You're entitled to have visitors come see you at all facilities. That has not been the rule. People have had their kids taken away because they supposedly made death threats over the computer, on a terrorist level, and they don't get to see them. You got to be, if your visitors bring children 17 years of under, an adult must supervise. You're not allowed to accept any item from a visitor. Well, that makes sense. You should discourage your visitors from bringing large quantities of hand-carried parcels or other items. Visitors may be required to leave such items in a locker or their vehicles or be turned over to the staff. They search everything that comes in. Let's see. Basic prison stuff here. Attorney visits. You can have as many. Legal mail. The detainee in the presence of staff will seal outgoing legal correspondence. So when you write a letter, they have to be there while you write it. It will be inspected. You have to do it in the presence of outgoing of staff. When you send a letter out, indigent detainees, that would be me, will be permitted to mail at government expense a reasonable amount of correspondence. Yeah, as long as they can read it first. You may send or receive mail to or from anyone you know personally. You may seal your outgoing letter and place them in the detainee mailbox or use any other method designated by your facility administrator. You're required to write your name and ID number and facility address on the upper left-hand corner of the envelope. Your incoming mail must also include your ID number as part of the envelope address. Anything without your ID number will be returned. Let's see. It also means that all your incoming and outgoing mail will be censored and read by the staff. That's pretty typical for a prison, though. You can't write to other detainees or other detention facilities at any level. I think that's typical of prisons, too, having never been in prison. I don't know. Let's see. Finances. Occasionally, you may wish to send money to your family or to others outside the facility. Where are you going to have money inside the facility unless they're putting you to work? Do not send cash in the mail. Each facility shall have established rules and procedures. Okay, all meals served at our facilities are nutritionally balanced, dietitian approved, and chocked full of mind control drugs. We only serve our meals in wholesome, clean, and safe surroundings. We do not use food as either a disciplinary or a measure of reward. All detainees will be provided with meals from a standard menu unless a special diet. I want kosher. In some detention facilities, mealtimes and menus are posted on bulletin boards. Religious menus are available, kosher, things like that, it says. So we're just getting down to the nuts and bolts of running the FEMA camps. There may be vending machines, and there may not be. You may be able to get hygiene items from vending machines. Dress code and grooming standards. For safety and hygiene reasons, kitchen workers, detainees, workers operating machinery shall keep their hair and clean and neat. You're going to put you to work in there. Okay, blue uniforms and wristbands, orange uniforms and wristbands, red uniforms for level 3 detainees. Let's see. Most of the stuff here is just, it's not alarming, because this is just how tyranny works. From wiping your butt to clogging your brain to controlling what you eat and when you see people. It's only 23 pages long. Let's see. It says volunteer groups. I don't know what just happened here. What's going on here, Lou? Did I accidentally hit download?
Yeah.
How do I stop this? Okay, good. So sometimes volunteer. They're probably the Red Cross and stuff coming in. They're saying you have the right to see those people. Let's see. It is your legal... You or your legal representative request permission to marry from the facility? Okay, you can get married while you're in these FEMA camps. Okay. Isn't that funny? You're entitled to have access to religious services, resources, instruction, and counseling on a voluntary basis. It is ICE policy to provide all detainees with the freedom and opportunity to pursue any religious belief or practice within the constraints of security and safety considerations. Every detention facility is required to provide you with a reasonable access to religious services that provides for your faith. It is your responsibility to review information at each facility regarding the times and type of programs that are available. So, you know, they're going to make sure the Muslims, you know, the few that they write up, that they round up, are going to be able to have access to it. Law library, recreation facility. Hey, we're going to have recreation. If you're expected to be held longer than 72 hours, you will have 1 hour of outdoor recreation per day. Outdoor recreation opportunities can be limited to by inclement weather. If you're housing in recreation, 6 months. Wow. Really weird stuff. Smoking policy. All those of you that are smokers, here you go. Most facilities do not allow smoking. All federal facilities and those contracted directly by the federal government are required to be smoke-free. So those of you that don't smoke or do smoke, better get used to it. Better turn that habit around, folks. I'm going to go back to the chat room here. Yeah, kosher, highly fluoridated water will be available, says IC Freedom. The World Food Bank says one big event and food supplies, yeah. So you don't want to be in one of these camps when this stuff sets off. You're probably going to be the drones. You're probably going to be the worker bees. And right now, so we're looking at it. Let's say... I don't know if they plan on giving one handbook to every person or they're figuring that one in three will want it and that kind of stuff. I don't know. I don't know how many numbers they're looking at. So let's say they have 700,000 handouts. So General Carver has a follow-up question. So, Dutch, what do you think these camps will be filled with initially? Do you think there will be some certain event which will kick it off? Or do you think they will do it covertly? Here's, and I'll highlight this again. After reading about a dozen websites and hundreds of comments and blogs that people have posted on this, this is my theory that I've put together. And I got three things here that they could be doing. One, let's be fair, maybe Obongo's had a change of heart and he's going to round up illegal aliens. I don't think so. Especially since only a third of the books were printed in Spanish. Two, this is a false flag event to rattle the tree, to shake the tree, to see what falls out, to see how many of us people on the alternative media talk about it. Pretty likely. You know, see how many people, because, you know, they posted it just for a day and then it came down. And I've called, like I said, three times today to the government printing office so that I could get my copy. So I get it in advance. And, you know, they're not answering the phone. The email bounced back. I posted that email earlier. So I don't know that. Or three, that this is the real deal. That they're going to use some false flag or the destruction of the dollar, stock market crash, something to trigger rioting in the streets. Shut off welfare, Social Security. It could be for federal employees. What happens if they just say everybody gets furloughed, nobody gets pay? We already know of soldiers getting 50% of their pay in their paychecks for the month of April. That's a first-hand report from soldiers, sergeants that I know that are active duty and active duty reserves. And I don't know. And why the short, why 11 days? Why did they feel like they needed it? I mean, even the body bags and the food, they're telling people 6 months to a year, get it ready. But suddenly now it's like we've got to have these books. We've got to have these books right now. And the numbers, let's say that it's, you know, they're going to do 1 million people. 1 million people is a drop in the bucket. When you figure 3% of us are resistors, 3% of us are in their eyes, rebellious. I wouldn't say rebellious. Rebellion is of witchcraft. What we are doing is we're resisting tyranny. We are resistors. They can't get us all, but maybe it's the key figures in their families. Maybe it's just the families. What better way to keep Dutch Jones from talking on the air than snagging his son or his daughter or his wife? They may not even come after me. They may get, I mean, it would be real easy for them to get my daughter and take her. Are they willing to do that yet? I don't know. I don't think these are death camps. I don't think we're to that point yet. I don't think the shredder's been ordered yet. You know, they haven't come up with a real good way of killing us all. They still need to squeeze some value out of us. They need to take away a lot of our belongings, liquidate our assets, and get us down to what I believe will be 500 million worldwide population. I think it's going to be incremental. They're going to, because they built these prisons for something. They're all over America. And if you live by one, you better start preparing your underground Hogan's Heroes plan to rescue people out of them. If you're a militia next to one of these federal or contracted prisons, you better be coming up with an SOP for breaking through that gate and rescuing everybody. Driving the buses off the road and getting everybody off. Taking out the guards. Figuring out ways to take the towers down. That's what this is for us. This is a wake-up call for people that don't think that this is going to happen. Now, they're going to turn around and say it's just about illegal immigration. When's the last time that they've done anything about illegal immigration? Eisenhower, Operation Wetback, 1.5, 1.7 million. They're not going to do that again. There's no way. They're just not going to do it. Is this going to be about Arabs? Is this going to be like the Japanese during World War II? No, they're not going to round up Muslims. They're not going to do it. It's going to be for street gangs. No, they're not going to do that either. So a wise man would assume that this is being focused on us. And if it's not, it's just a grace period. Yeah, it's patriots, militias, Christians. People that, you know, don't agree with what's happening in our nation. Gold is at $1,500 an ounce. At least it was last night when I looked. I haven't looked today. The dollar is taking a huge flushing. And people are going to freak out. They can't keep paying inner city minorities and violent street gangs welfare. And those people are going to turn. Government union employees are going to turn. When they can't be paid. They're going to guarantee the pay. Well, they're not even guaranteeing the pay for our soldiers. For key security personnel, the contractors have probably got their money up front. I don't know who's going to be in these camps. I know who the menu is going to be that they're going to choose from, and it's going to be you and me and all associated with us. This doesn't change the way we do stuff. Again, folks, I'm not doing this to strike fear into you. I'm not going to give. I don't want to give you a oh no, the sky is falling mentality. What I wanted to do is to kick you in the butt, so you go out tonight and maybe jog 3 miles. Go into your basement tonight and go through your ammo. Go through your backpacks tonight. Make sure everything's ready. Work on that bug out plan. Put together a meeting with your families, because you should already be linking up. If you're by yourself, I think you're behind the eight ball. The only option now, if you're all alone, is not to make any noise so they don't know you're there. You know, and already, if you're listening to this show, if you're sending emails on the internet, if you're using an iPhone, those of you that saw that today, sending emails, they know who you are. They know who every single one of you are. They probably even know my real name. They probably know what I had for breakfast this morning. It was waffles, by the way. Waffles and tea. Make it a little easier on them so they can move on to the next guy. They're trudging along. They're making preparations. Why aren't you? They're planning their attack. They're putting targets on people's heads so that when the time comes and we're no longer nice to each other, we're no longer so-called civil, they're getting ready to pounce. Why aren't you? Why aren't you coming up with plans and more than just... And I'm telling you, filling a backpack with 3 days' supply of food and going to the range isn't enough, folks. We've just got contacted from Christian Defender groups from all over the world today that are interested in coming here to train at Camp Kauia. Why aren't you? Where are you? What are you doing for the cause, for the safety of your own family? Are you worse than an infidel? Because this is a holy cause of liberty we're talking about here. Somebody today said, we should thank every veteran, anyone that's ever served, for this liberty and freedom that we have. No, don't thank me. Don't thank Steve Klein. Don't thank our sergeants. Don't thank the Corn Keys. Thank God. For God is the author of liberty. So take your orders from him. Take these signs as a sign of grace. Take these signs as a warning from the Lord. Everybody's always waiting for signs. Everybody's always waiting for prophecies to be fulfilled. Well, God gives us signs every day. This booklet may be one of them. I don't know. We may pass May Day. Wouldn't it be funny if it was May Day? They just do it on the Communist Revolution Day. May Day passes and nothing happens. I don't know. I really don't know. I can't see. I don't have a crystal ball. But I'm telling you that this made me get a little more serious, and each day I get a little more serious. I mean, you can never be too prepared. You can never be too ready. You know, I'm working on my physicality. I'm working on the limits that I have with what funds we have. We don't have very much money at all. But we're dealing with what God gave us to secure a future for our faith and our children and for this nation. Because right now you have an entire country that is borrowing money from people who aren't even born yet to pay for things we don't need today. It's vile, it's disgusting, it's evil, and it's part of a bigger plan to destroy you. So, folks, we're going to be back right after the break. Pastor is not here live. He's going to a family dinner. What we will do is we're going to have a sermon that he gave on the slave mentality, and I think it's important that you hear this. Don't go away because it's not live. Stay tuned to Liberty Tree Radio. You're listening to Stronghold Radio right now, and I want to thank you for tuning in, and we'll be right back.
God-fearing Americans who cling to our faith and our guns. So now they have the feds all watching us like we're enemy number one. Up till now, I always thought our vets were real patriots who loved our country with all their hearts. Oh, they proudly wore the uniform. They fought and died on foreign shores when liberty called them to do their part. Now the Department of Homeland Security has sounded the alarm, calling our vets a bigger threat than the terrorists who want to do us harm. They're calling us right-wing extremists, and they mock us on TV, 'cause we're united to defend our Constitution and fight against tyranny. We are proud, God-fearing conservatives who cling to our faith and our guns. So now they have the feds all watching us like we're enemy number one. We tend to be pro-life all the way. We're not ashamed to bow our heads to pray. The First Amendment gives us the right to speak our minds. We don't like how our money's spent by politicians who seem bent on controlling everything in our lives. They're even calling us rednecks and racists 'cause we don't like the policies of our nation's first black president in our great history. They're calling us right-wing extremists and they mock us on TV 'cause we're united to defend our Constitution and fight against tyranny. We are proud, God-fearing daughters and sons who cling to our faith and our guns. So now they have the feds all watching us like we're enemy number one. Through our faith in God, who we still trust, America was born. But freedom lost is forever gone. Our founding fathers warned. Oh, they're calling us right-wing extremists and they mock us on TV 'cause we're united to defend our Constitution and fight against tyranny. We are proud, God-fearing patriots who cling to our faith and our guns. So now they have the feds all watching us like we're enemy number one. Yes, now they have the feds all watching us like we're enemy number one. Yes, now they have the feds all watching us like we're enemy number one.
When the crash does come, when there is a natural disaster, during civil unrest, the last thing you want to be is a refugee. So check out DutchJones.info. That's www.DutchJones.info. We have the supplies you need and the information you will need. That's www.DutchJones.info.
If you're in the battle for the Lord and right, just keep on the fighting line. If you win the battle, surely you must fight, so keep on the fighting line. Brother, keep on the fighting line. Keep on the fighting line. Time is getting short. Jesus coming soon, brother, keep on the foreign line.
Okay, folks, welcome, welcome to all our Liberty Tree Radio listeners. I hope they're there. I don't know if we've linked up yet. I'm Dutch Jones. This is, well, I guess the best way to put it, it's Stronghold Radio coming to you from the church at Cahuilla in Cahuilla, California. And being Thursday night, we normally do our show called Practical Christianity with Pastor Warren Mark Campbell. Well, he can't be with us live today or by phone. He had a family meeting, and they went out and went out to dinner. I don't know what they're having. I'll find out and let you know. I know everybody cares. But Pastor Juan Mark Campbell gave me some sermons to pick through, and we're going to play that here in a little bit. It's about a 45-minute sermon. So what we'll do is we'll get that up and running, and it's going to be on the slave mentality, and it's the type of sermon that you're going to hear here at the Church at Kaweah. And who are we at the Church at Kaweah? Well, we're a militant Christian worldview, free, non-501c3, interdenominational church. I said that all in one breath. We are also a Confederate church. We are not dispensationalists. We are preterists. Yeah, it's not pedophiles, that's preterists. And we don't like children. We like children, but not in that weird way. I've had people go, preterism, that sounds terribly perverse. I said, that's just because your mind's perverse. We're always trying to convince people that before 1840, 45, there was a true gospel being taught in the world, and then since then it's been perverted. The war of federal aggression, the demise of the American church, the wimpiness of pastors. So that's the kind of stuff you're going to hear from Pastor Warren Mark Campbell, Pastor John Weaver, Pastor Peter Hammond, Pastor Thomas McConnell. Who else? Am I forgetting anybody? Who am I forgetting? Steve Klein, who comes up here and teaches. I teach a little bit, but I'm not a pastor. Neither is Steve Klein, but they, for some reason they let us talk. So you're going to hear stuff from this church that you're not going to hear anywhere else. And I am very grateful to Liberty Tree Radio, to Militia Radio, to the Watchmen. I don't know if Scotty's in there, but all the people that share our message, to Olima for keeping our archives up. I get so many comments on the archives. We get 700, 800, 900, over 1,000 downloads per episode of the Dutch Jones Radio program, and Code 20 and all that stuff, and Practical Christianity. So I just want you guys to know that we're here as a stronghold, but we're also here as a beacon, a light on a hill. If you have any spiritual questions, you know, we're not the greatest at militia stuff. I don't claim that. You're going to hear other shows that know way more than I'll ever know. I'm just sharing with what we're doing and what I've got in my little bag of tricks, and that's it. I don't claim to be an expert on it. But what you will hear here is good, solid, old-timey gospel, not just in music, but in teachings and the way it was originally preached. A lot of people will ask us questions like, are you Armenian or Calvinist? Are you Catholic or Protestant? Well, we're Protestant because we believe in the great men of the Reformation. We're not big on the Catholic Church at all. We do fellowship with Catholics, but we don't like the hierarchy. We're not papists, you know, that kind of stuff. But what we are is, we would say we predate those things. We're like we're disciples of Christ. We come from a river of thought that predates those labels. But labels make people happy, so you could say we're Protestants that aren't Calvinist, but we're not Armenian either. We're just interdenominational. So without further ado, this sermon coming up is on the slave mentality. I think it's critical. It was recorded before Lou was here, so the recording isn't that great. But please bear with us. I'll try to equalize it out, but it's good quality content. And if Liberty Tree is in the guest room, sometimes they come in, they don't sign in. Welcome to all of those folks. Welcome to our pod people, and welcome to everyone listening. So without further ado, go ahead and start it, Lou. And I'll make sure we get the level here good. There might be a little bit of dead space before it, because they never used to they never edited them back then when they were doing them on tape still. Is it playing?
I could deliver a message entitled This Morning.
Enjoy, Pastor Warren Mark Campbell.
The Slave Mentality. The Slave Mentality. It's a message that I feel that the Lord would have me deliver. Not exactly sure why, but we trust that somebody will be edified and be encouraged. We thank the Lord for the way in which systematic preaching of the gospel done week in and week out will reach a vast array of people and a large audience. We don't have a lot of what we would call quote-unquote salvation messages here because I know whom I'm speaking to. I'm speaking to a church people. Vast majority of the people here have been saved, you know, well over 20 years. We've got people who have been saved maybe 5 years, but nonetheless, we're speaking to a largely Christian audience. So we don't always do salvation messages, but I felt led to do a salvation message Thanksgiving Sunday. And lo and behold, a couple was here that was unsaved. We don't have a lot of visitors that come in, but we happen to have Thanksgiving Sunday. Didn't know at all that we were going to have some unsaved people here. And so we trust that the Lord, not every time, we're not always in the Spirit, sometimes perhaps we're in the flesh, but by and large, the Lord leads us on the things that we
you know, are to share. So that's why it's good that you're praying for your pastor, so that he would share that which the Lord would have for the congregation, and, you know, and that we could grow thereby, and that I'd preach to you the full counsel of God, the full gospel. And we've seen this often and many times through the years in delivering up of sermons, and somebody's there, somebody comes in, or whatever the case may be, where the Spirit of God is reaching out to them, touching them, trying to woo them, whatever. And it may not, it may be a Christian who's been, has a root of bitterness in their life, and so the message goes forth dealing with roots of bitterness, because God is wooing them, trying to get them to, you know, give it up, give it to the Lord, and that sort of thing. So we have various messages and various details, and I know this is the Christmas time of year, but we'll just see how the Lord leads us today as we look at this subject of the slave mentality. Some years ago, a college professor gave a lecture to his students on the subject of liberty. We're talking to university, college-level students. And the students seemed to ask afterwards, several of them, the consensus was, what's so great about liberty? What's so wonderful about liberty? These students had been raised with a slave mentality. They thought as slaves and serfs and servants. They didn't know how to think as free people. You know, it's important to know how to think. If you're going to be free, you have to know how to think. That's something that's a responsibility of a free man or woman in Jesus Christ. A free man on the land is to know how to think and examine the Word of God and let the Word of God lead them. So the students couldn't grasp that liberty was a very important subject, that it wasn't, they didn't know that Patrick Henry had taught that it was a holy cause, or that George Washington referred to holy liberty and our founding fathers. The students had been raised with a slave mentality. So let's ask the question then, what contributes to a slave mentality? I'm going to list four things. There could be other things that would contribute to a slave mentality. But here's four things that I see contribute today, in the day and age in which we live, and it would fit all the time, to a slave mentality. Number one, education contributes to a slave mentality. That's education. That's the whatever school system or whatever your elementary level education is, or your high school or your college level, as we think of higher learning and that sort of thing. Education, but family teaching, church, the home life can contribute to a slave mentality. If the father and mother thinks like slaves, more than likely that they're going to raise their children to think like slaves and be in servitude. If the church, if the pastor thinks like, you know, like as a slave mentality, by and large, the congregation's going to have that slave mentality. We were discussing with someone just recently, we were talking about Chuck Norris, the martial arts and TV star who has endorsed, you know, Mike Huckabee, and was traveling. I saw it on the news the other day. He was traveling around, and I had heard that Chuck Norris was considering Ron Paul. Well, why would he choose a man like Mike Huckabee to endorse? Probably because his pastor didn't teach him much of anything. Didn't teach him how to think. Didn't really teach him. So he's a good man making a choice that I would say was a real non-thinking choice, or not a very wise choice. I was up about 4 weeks ago talking with a group of high school and college age students, and we were having a Bible answer. They were asking the preacher questions, and the preacher was answering type of a session. And one of the students said, "Hey, I noticed that Ron Paul, you got a bumper sticker on your car for Ron Paul. I noticed out in the parking lot. Why are you voting for him? He can't win." Well, that was the second time that night somebody had said that to me, so I was ready to go. And so I had a good time. And I said, you know what, we'd already had several questions going back and forth. And I said, that is a very good question. Matter of fact, it's probably the most important thing we're going to address tonight. And we were dealing with various doctrinal questions, right to keep and bear arms, soteriology, salvation, covenantalism, all kinds of subjects we were dealing with. Because I said, why is it that you wouldn't vote for Ron Paul because he can't win? And I asked this challenge of students, show me a scripture that backs up your reason why you wouldn't vote for a man because he can't win. And of course, they looked around and nobody could come up with a scripture as why they should vote for a man that can't win. And, of course, I began then to open the Word of God to them. I won't go into that because we've done it with you before, as to those scriptures that would apply to judge righteously, to do the right thing. Duty is ours. Results are God's. And we leave that into His hand. But what a tremendous... So the point is, and this is the way the politics is run today, by and large, in the U.S., is people that do things without thinking. They've just been told by an upper guru in the Christian community, you know, of how to vote or what not to do. And the, you know, the voter pamphlets that come out, only they always deal with the Republican or Democrat choice. They don't give you the American Independent or the Constitution Party candidate choice. And so they're indoctrinated to think, well, this is all there is. And of course, we know better than that. But we're talking about education. They've been educated, and much of Christians have been educated to vote for the lesser of two evils, and even though they know it's evil. And where do we get that concept in the Bible? I don't have a clue how that could creep in except through ignorance and except through a slave mentality, a mentality of apathy. So number one, education can contribute greatly to a slave mentality. Benjamin Franklin said, a nation of well-informed men who have been taught to know and prize the rights which God has given them cannot be enslaved. But it's, we have to teach it. We have to teach it. It is in the region of ignorance that tyranny begins. Boy, that is so powerful. I mean, that should speak to everyone. It's everyone at the Church at Kuya should be saying amen to that. Boy, it's in the region of ignorance that tyranny begins. And it's these ignorant voters out there that don't want to vote for somebody because they don't think he has a chance to win, that don't think about the Word of God when they go to the polling, you know, the polling place, that don't consider, as King David says, about who should vote for. Exodus 18 tells us how we're to elect people, Deuteronomy chapter 1. And so they don't look at the Word of God, and so they make terrible choices because they are ignorant, and it is in the region of ignorance that tyranny begins, so they vote for another tyrant who has, while looking through rose-colored glasses. Now, number two, so education contributes to a slave mentality. Number two, prolonged subjection to tyranny. Think about it. Prolonged subjection to tyranny. You've been under the tyrant's heel so long that you really don't know what the taste of freedom is like. See, we, to a certain degree and varying degrees, we have a slave mentality. We've been under the tyrant of permits and licensure for so long that some of us never knew what it was like to not have to go and get a permit, right? Or not have to go and get a license for something. Of course, some of us don't get a license or permit anyway, right, Fred? We just do it anyway. Hey, Fred's not the only one. Some of us do this similar along that line too. So, but we recognize when we do that, we recognize there may be a cost to our actions. We may get thrown in the hoosegow. We may get fined. You know, there are repercussions. But there are people here that remember when they didn't have to get a license for just about anything and everything. The days when the dollar stretched so much further because the dollar had much more buying power. And when you could have an automobile. How many remember having an automobile for years and years and years and years and not having to buy insurance for it? All right, it's a lot easier. And, of course, there are people that don't have insurance that drive without it. Yes, Ed?
If you remember when Fred Bader invited Dean Goucher to speak from the pulpit up there, and okay. He said that at that time, it's got to be, I don't remember exactly, about 5 years ago, I would say, at least, and he said from that pulpit right there, that people who at that time were at least 65...
Stand by on the tape. Somebody just interrupted the pastor. We don't have the audio. Here we go.
Yes, I do remember. I forgot the age, but I remember him saying that. If you're not probably over 65, 70, you don't know what freedom is. So we've been inculcated into this prolonged subjection to tyranny. Now, thanks be to God, it's not tyranny on the level that the children of Israel had experienced many times, right? Or tyranny on the level that they experience in communist China today, or that they experienced under the hands of communist Russia. But in meeting some of our Russian friends now that have been under the yoke of tyranny since the early 1900s and have only come out in the to freedom in late 1980 or early 1990, they still yet don't really understand how to live under freedom. For so many years and so many generations, they were such a persecuted people, hiding as almost in the dens and caves of the earth. Not quite, but that's the idea. Never knowing when the KGB was going to, you know, arrest them and take them away, take their loved one away. That even now that they've been in the States for 10, 15, 20 years, they still don't know what the responsibilities of a free man or woman under Jesus Christ are. They just don't know. And so thank God that they welcome the messages that we give up there. We're beginning to slowly educate them and beginning to share some things. So number one, education. Number two, prolonged subjection to tyranny. You just don't know what freedom's like anymore. And number three, fear. Fear is a big tool of tyrants to keep them in power. We have to get over the fact that what does the Bible say? They love not their lives unto death, right? They were willing to sacrifice anything and everything for the name of Jesus Christ, for his lordship over every area of life. We have to get that into our minds. We have to break away with the what-if mentality. That's a spirit of fear. Well, what if this? What if that? What if this? What if that? And you begin to, all of a sudden, you're so fearful from going out on a limb, you never get up the tree. There's people like that. They're so fearful from going up out on a limb that they'll never get up the tree and never accomplish anything because their fear binds them, the fear of death. I tell you what, if we had more people that loved, that had a passion for the holy cause of liberty, we would see a greater realm of freedom, and the tyrants would be scared of us. Amen. And that's how they overcome people. That's how they did it in World War II. People were so oftentimes, so scared. Alexander Solzhenitsyn in the Gulag Archipelago, he said, came over out of communist Russia, he said the one thing, while they were in the gulags there under tremendous persecution, one thing they kicked themselves over and over again was why didn't they, when they still had their homes, the KGB would come to arrest them and take them away and beat them and probably kill them or throw them in the gulags. Why didn't they resist when they still had a chance of resisting? And what he said by that was, now their arms had been taken away from them. They didn't have any arms. But he said they still had fire pokers for the fireplace. They still had clubs. They still had bats. Whatever it was they had. He said when the tour, because they would come, maybe three or four KGB agents would come into their house, or maybe two, drag someone out of there. If every KGB agent didn't know when they would go into a house, whether they would come out again, right? Put a little fear on their side. And so this was something that he said they talked about, they lamented while they had the opportunity. Now, when you are in the gulags, when you are in the concentration camp, and there's a machine gun nest on every corner, it's too late to resist because you'll be actually participating in your own self-murder. They've got a machine gun in every corner and there's guards there, it becomes then a futile opportunity. And so then you have to it's a different role that you're going to have to play in just surviving and praying that God will, for a miracle to be let out. So fear, the fear of man. Go with me to John chapter 9 for a minute. Let's just look at that just a little bit further. Of course, fear is a spirit. Fear is a spirit that can seize people's hearts. We need at the Church of Kwee to have people around us that don't have that spirit of fear. Remember, God says when you go into battle, says, let all the fearful go, because that spirit will jump on the other man in the foxhole in the trench, and he'll get fearful because the spirit of fear jumped from one man to the other. Let the fearful go, let them stay home. Now, people that have faith in God, in Jesus Christ, and are going to fight the holy cause of liberty without fear. Now, John 9:22, this is where the man had been that was born blind, he's been healed, and the Pharisees are all upset because Jesus healed, he did it on the Sabbath day, and he gets them all bent out of shape. So they're interrogating the guy's parents because they're so upset about this. In verse 21, but by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him, he shall speak for himself. So they said, they were asking the parents, they were interrogating the Jewish leaders, why, how did this guy see? Because they don't like Jesus, they don't like what he's doing, the good deeds that he's doing. And the parents say, look, he's of age, ask him. They knew exactly who, they knew what was going on, but they didn't want to answer. Verse 22, these words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, the Messiah, he should be put out of the synagogue. The fear of the Jews, that's still a problem today. People fear the Jews even today, and they won't deal with historical facts like they really are. They refuse to accept history as it really is because they fear. People are afraid to say things from pulpits of America. They're afraid to say things in political circles because of the fear of the Jews. Well, the Bible says that the fear of man bringeth a snare. We don't need to be fearful. I like what R.C. Sproul Jr. teaches his children when he catechizes them. He says to his children, "Whom does Sproul's fear?" And the children answer back, "Sproul's fear no man. Sproul's fear God." That's where we need to be, folks. Now, fourth reason, what factors contribute to a slave mentality? Education, prolonged subjection to a tyranny, fear, and also sin. Bondage to sin contributes to a slave mentality. When you're already bound by sin, you're bound to whatever the habit is, whether it's pornography, whether it's gambling, or whatever the habit is, that binding to you, that being bound, you're already a slave to that, and you're consumed and obsessed with that. You can't walk in freedom. Now, Samuel Adams said, a general dissolution of principles and manners will more surely overthrow the liberties of America than the whole force of the common enemy. You worried about the New World Order today? And we rightly so. We've got some things that we need to be aware of. We worried about China? Yeah, we should be. But Samuel Adams said, a dissipation of the principles and manners will surely overthrow the liberties of America more than the whole force of the common enemy. Well, and he explains, while the people are virtuous, we need to be a very virtuous people here at the Church of Quia, they cannot be subdued, but when they lose their virtue, they will be ready to surrender their liberties to the first external or internal invader. Wow. If virtue and knowledge are diffused among the people, they will never be enslaved. This will be their great security. So Samuel Adams, known as the father of the American Revolution, he says, virtue is the key. Knowledge to be diffused among the people, they will not be enslaved. That knowledge and virtue that they possess will be their security. Now, what does he mean by virtue? We've got to go to Webster's 1828, and we find that virtue is the practice of moral duties from sincere love to God, and His laws is virtue and religion. So when Samuel Adams talks about we need to disseminate virtue to the people, we've got to understand what he means by virtue. Just like when you talk about the First Amendment, Congress shall make no law as an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, that religion was synonymous with... Okay, here's your question for this morning. When the First Amendment was written, and it says Congress shall make no laws to the establishment of religion, what was the word religion synonymous with? And it's out with a big answer. All right, it wasn't big, but there was three or four that were bold. Three or four, you knew the answer and you were bold. Religion was synonymous with denomination, and we understand what that means is that Congress did not want a state church like the Anglican Church of England, like the Romish Church in Italy and France and Spain, so on. All right, so we have to understand what he's talking about. So when he says virtue, he's talking about how important virtue is, and he goes on to say, Samuel Adams, he therefore is the truest friend to liberty of his country who tries most to promote virtue and who are so far as his power and influence extend will not allow a man to be chosen into any office of power and trust who is not a wise and virtuous man. The sum of all is if we would most truly enjoy this gift of heaven, let us become a virtuous people. Virtue, the practice of moral duties from sincere love to God and His laws in virtue and religion. Very, very interesting indeed, I think. Now let's define here for a minute. We're talking about slave mentality, problem of a slave mentality. Let's define the slave here. Who is a slave? Webster, we'll look at Webster once again in 1828. A slave is one who has no will of his own, but whose person and services are wholly under the control of another. One who has no will of his own. The person who is addicted to pornography has no will of his own. He's obsessed night and day. It eventually manifests itself out in public where he cannot, he's so controlled that he doesn't, a lewd act, and does something horrible and horrific because he's under the passion to such a degree. Person on narcotics, a drug addict, they're so possessed night and day that they'll go into a child will go into his parents' home and steal from his parents, do the unthinkable, rob his parents because he's so much a slave to that. Another thought of slavery. one who has lost the power of resistance. You see, and that's that idea of a prolonged subjection to tyranny. You lose the power of resistance just after a while. One who has lost the power of resistance or who surrenders himself to any power whatever as a slave to passion, lust, or ambition. Some men running for office, you need to be aware, they are so ambitious that they will do anything, compromise anything, to get into a position of power. I know one man here in the community. He says, I lust for power. I lust for power. Forget women. I want power. Of course, when he gets the power, then he'll have his way with women as well. He doesn't say that. But he says, I lust for power. And so he's obsessed. His mind is constantly obsessed in those directions. What a tragedy, too. Now, slavery is the surrender of liberty, whether voluntarily or at the muzzle of a gun. Now, we know people. We're going to talk about those people who have a slave mentality. They willingly submit. Now, you might become a slave because it's at the muzzle of a gun, and you know that you're trying to preserve your progeny and your very life, and so you may have to submit under that circumstance. You're mentally, you don't have a slave mentality, but you are a slave, right? There's a difference. You might be a slave because the machine guns are on you, but you don't have a slave mentality. But our thoughts this morning are focusing on a slave mentality, so that to the voluntary slave, now listen to this, to the voluntary slave, the surrender of liberty is no penalty. You see, we don't like the fact that our liberties are being taken. We don't like the patriarch, which is just robbing us of our liberties. But how many Christians do you know, and how many people that your friends, they swallowed up the Patriot Act, like, oh, no problem, I'll take it, you know, keep it going. Anything to keep us safe. The biggest fear of a voluntary slave, listen to this, is freedom or liberty. What the slave, the voluntary slave fears is the very thing that you and I seek after with all our hearts, with all our hearts. They fear living free. They fear living in liberty, being able to make choices of their own. They fear the responsibility, and we're going to talk about that, the responsibility that comes with being free. Because freedom isn't free, right? You've got to pay the price.
One of the worst addictions is those who become addicted to government largesse. Boy, that destroys character and everything and takes care of all the rest.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about that. Those that are addicted, Ed says, to government largesse, the womb to tomb of the government taking care of them. Now, let's talk about this a little bit further, because this is not, some people might say, what are you talking about? Somebody willingly volunteer to be a slave? I said the biggest fear of a voluntary slave is freedom or liberty. For example, the man who spent 10 years in jail, and when he gets out, within 2 weeks he commits a crime so he can go back to his security. We've actually met people that have been on the ranch here that we were trying to work with, that had spent so many years in jail that they actually feel more secure. They get up in the morning, breakfast is provided. They don't have to think when they're going to have where breakfast is coming from. You know, they got their bed is provided, lunch is provided, dinner is provided, and it's the freedom of choice, the liberty of choice, that scares them, and so they'd rather go back to jail. Some of you probably know people like that. They've been in it so long, they've been under that tyranny, that's actually the way they prefer to live. Now, this is what we need to understand. The Word of God actually makes provision for someone with a slave mentality. So we're going to develop this further. The Word of God actually makes provision and recognizes some people want to be a slave and have a slave mentality. Now, we've said some people would be freedom-loving, but maybe they were educated to such a degree they didn't know that they could, you know, they didn't have a love of liberty because they were never taught anything about liberty. And, you know, and so we've given reasons, but now there are some people that just want to be a slave. Look at Exodus chapter 21. We're going to look at two verses today. Exodus chapter 21. And verses 1 to 6. This is a man who's gotten himself in financial trouble of some kind, maybe did a dumb decision, maybe gambled his money away or whatever, and now he's got to pay the piper, right? So judgment day came. He had to come up with the money, didn't have it. So now he's going to have to be sold into slavery because of something. And maybe in some cases it could be, you know, once in a while, could be just circumstances beyond his control. Verse 1, now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. This is God speaking, and this is the mind of God on a matter. Look at verse 2. If, you don't have to, but you might, if thou buy an Hebrew servant. Now we need to stop here. We are talking about someone within the covenant community. Now there's other passages that deal with other servants or slaves that you get from military conquest. There's rules and regulations for those slaves as well. But in this particular case, this is a Hebrew. This is one of the covenant people, and you buy him to extricate some debt that he's got to deal with. If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh year he shall go out free for nothing. So this servant is going to be yours for 6 years. We call it indentured servitude. Matter of fact, England practiced it for many years, early America. Some of your fathers and mothers, or great-great-great-great-great-grandfathers and mothers, came over to America as an indentured servant, willing to work for 6 years, and on the seventh year be allowed to go free, because this way got it from this concept of the Bible to take care of their debts. Now, and by the way, if the Jubilee comes in there, the person had to be aware, if the contract's for 6 years, but if the Jubilee is coming up in 3 years, he's going to get released in 3 years. So they had to know those things. They had to be aware when the Jubilee, the year of Jubilee, was coming up. All right, verse 3, if he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. All right, he came in, he's a slave, says, all right, 6 years, got to do this contract, whatever, pay off some debt. Or if you wanted him and hired him because he just, you know, for whatever reason, he goes in, he goes out at the end of the 6 year. By the way, I'm not going to get into it, but according to Deuteronomy, you're not the master just doesn't let him go.
Right.
He has to provide him with some sustenance. He has to provide him with a way of making a living. He's got to give him some sheep. He's got to give him some food, some grain. And so he just doesn't let him go out there on the street. You see that? Very important. Remember at the War of Northern Aggression, when the North had so pillaged the South and the slaves were running free, they weren't, the North wasn't thinking about the slaves in the South. They were let go with no means to protect themselves, no food, no livestock or anything like that. So in this case, the guy, Deuteronomy tells, you can let him go, but you're going to have to provide for him so he can get on his feet. Now he can establish himself. If he squanders it, he's going to have to go back into slavery. But now he can at least establish himself in business, so to speak. All right. Verse 3, if he came in by himself, he'll go out by himself with these blessings. Deuteronomy says, if he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. Sometimes a couple might sell themselves into slavery for 6 years to take care of the debts or whatever. And so if the husband and wife came together, then she also worked. She was then an indentured servant. Now she can go as well. Verse 4, but if his master gave him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. Now that's an interesting verse. That's one we have to think about a little bit. So the master gives him a wife, and now he's got a wife, and he's got some sons or daughters, and now he goes. If he wants to go, he has to go out by himself. And you think, well, wait a minute. What about the wife and the kids here? You know, that's a mean master. Well, the master has an investment. He has a tremendous business investment in the wife and in the children. Has he not been feeding them for 6 years or 5 years or 4 years, whatever the case may be? Hasn't he been calling the doctor when they got the flu or, you know, whatever, and they needed medical attention? He's been covering all these expenses. That's what the slave, you know, the slave owner did. And so there's expenses that have to be occur. But the Bible doesn't say the man who is now being released isn't free to redeem his wife and children down the road, right? There's a cost factor, so he might agree. Look, he tells the slave owner, you've been good to me, and I'd like to take, and you've provided me with a wife, and I've got two kids. I'm going to work for 1 year, and they agree upon the price, and so he comes back a year later, and he gives, 20 shekels of silver, and then he gets his wife and his children. It also keeps him responsible. Now, he didn't have to take on that responsibility, and we're going to get to that. I'm going to get on that in just a minute. So he could purchase them. Verse 5, and if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. Look at that. 6 years have come. 6 years have gone. He served. He says, you know what? I like this idea. I've got a little house provided for me, a little hut. I got my bed. Master provides food. Don't have to worry. He provides medicine for the kids. You know, all these things. Hey, I think I kind of like it here. All right, so there's provision for that person. But notice, he's willingly doing it. He likes this lifestyle. I don't particularly like it, but some people do. So verse 5, and the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children. I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. Is this where the guy wants to be? He doesn't want to have to make choices of, you know, look, a storm's coming in. You know, what am I going to do about the crops? Do I need to get them in now or wait a while or whatever the case may be? Or the storm ruined the crops. Now we're going to have to eke out a living, and I'm going to have to hustle up some work some other way to feed my family. Whatever the case may be, he willingly puts himself under perpetual servitude. Pretty interesting. Now let me read to you some thoughts here from R.J. Rushdoony. I like the Seppi's bumper sticker, Read Rushdoony. I do. And so I think you'll find this very interesting concerning this passage. Now, he says, the poor were to be aided in their needs, but aid could not be a subsidy. When we're dealing with the poor, we don't want to subsidize their indolence or their slothfulness or whatever, but they can be aided. It's a big difference. Some, because of their inability to meet their debts, became bond servants for a period of not more than 6 years to the next Sabbath year or little jubilee. The bond servant was not only to be well treated, but he was to be discharged with liberal pay for his services. We talked about that, liberal pay. This system of bond servants was part of the English law, and many Americans came from ancestors who reached America only by selling themselves as bond servants for a Sabbath of years. The bond servant, however, could not... Now, here's the point. That this is very interesting. We haven't thought about much. I hadn't. The bond servant, however, could not have the best of both worlds, the world of freedom and the world of servitude. And the way the government has structured aid today is the bond servant has freedom and servitude and tries to get from the best of both worlds. A wife meant responsibility to marry. A man had to have a dowry as evidence of his ability to head a household. A man could not gain the benefit of freedom, a wife, and at the same time gain the benefit of security under a master. In other words, see, the master still has that benefit of the wife and children. If he married while a bondservant, another bondservant, or a slave, he knew that in so doing he was abandoning either freedom or his family. Because the master, if he's a bond servant, he willingly takes the wife from the master. He's either abandoning freedom because he's going to have to deal with this and with her and this family and this responsibility, or he's going to say, no, I'll just stay under it. He either remained permanently a slave with his family and had his ear pierced as a sign of subordination, like a woman, or he left his family. If he walked out and left his family, he could, if he earned enough, redeem his family from bondage. If he was any kind of a man at all, he would take the time, you know, and the effort and redeem his family from bondage. The law here, notice what he says, the law here is humane and also it's unsentimental. We have so often sentimentality that creeps into Christianity. The modern Quakers are a good example of that. They don't read, the Word of God's not their final authority, so their feelings, their emotions are what their final authority. Hence, they don't believe in capital punishment or things like that because it just feels to them wrong. They rely on sentimentality. We're to rely on the Word of God. It recognizes, now here it is, it recognizes that the Word of God recognizes that some people are by nature slaves. Some people, hear it again, hear me now, some people are by nature slaves and will always be so. We need to understand this. We need to understand this. I'm going to bring this home in just a little bit more. They'll always be that way. It both requires that they be dealt with in a godly manner and also that the slave recognize his position and accept it with grace. Socialism, on the contrary, tries to give the slave all the advantages of his security together with the benefits of freedom and in the process destroys both the free and the enslaved. The old principle of law, last sentence, the old principle of law derived from the law, derived from this law, the old principle of law derived from the law of God, that the welfare recipient cannot exercise the suffrage and related rights of a free citizen is still valid. You see? And so we've given suffrage, we've allowed these people that are on this to have the right of suffrage. And Rush Jr. is saying that's not, they can't have the best of both worlds. You see? Because why if you allow them suffrage, they're going to always vote largesse to themselves to keep their slave benefits going.
That's why only landowners could vote.
That's why in early America only landowners could vote, because they knew about the problem of heavy taxation. So we have people, I'm going to give you one more verse, we have people that want a womb-to-tomb security. So it should not surprise us in some cases when people and our friends and folks in other churches want, and you know, they clamor this type of security. It's like 1 Samuel chapter 8, when Israel asked for a king to be like all the other nations. They were giving up responsibility that the free Christian has. They didn't want responsibility. They wanted a king to go out and fight their battles. They were too lazy to train and do what was necessary. So they said, let somebody else do all that for us. Let somebody else take care of us. Now go with me to Genesis chapter 49. By the way, is it getting warm in here?
No?
Okay, leave the heat on? All right. Genesis 49. There's a lot of hot air up here, I can tell you that. Genesis 49. Now this is where Jacob is blessing the children of Israel. He's just about ready to die, and he's imparting a blessing or a rebuke, whatever the case may be, because some of the guys needed a rebuke, some of his kids. And so he's looking down the quarter of time, and he sees something. Now in verse 14 and 15, he comes to Issachar, and so he's going to lay his hands and give Issachar. He says this about Issachar, verse 14. Issachar is as a strong ass couching down between two burdens. And he saw that the rest was good. So here's this donkey. He's laying down. There's a burden on each side of him. He says, you know, this isn't so bad. He saw that the rest was good and the land, that it was pleasant, and he bowed his shoulder to bear. In other words, the donkey said, yeah, I can rest here in between these and then take up the burden and become a servant unto tribute. So this is Jacob looking in the future, and he sees Issachar and his progeny so in love with the world that they will give up liberty under God to be forced laborers and won't mind it and won't object to it. This donkey lying between the two burdens, it's a typological of the fact that, and prophetic, that Issachar would be bound via tillage and via tribute. They were going to have to work the land and work the soil for someone else. They were going to have to pay tribute to someone else, but they wouldn't mind. This is Issachar. This is his slave. He's a slave mentality. It's not so bad. Hey, the donkey, you know what? A donkey, he gets fed three times a day. He's got to carry those burdens, but the master takes care of him. If it's, you know, cold out, the master leads him inside, puts him under the shelter and all these types of things. And so Issachar and his progeny, Jacob could look down and say, you know what? These guys, they're not going to mind it. They're going to bear the yoke and say, it's okay with me. Just don't give me freedom. All right. So Jacob looks at the future, sees Issachar and his progeny, so in love with this world. Now there's a key though. So in love with this world that they will give up liberty under God to be forced laborers. Given the choice of liberty or luxury, Issachar will choose the latter, even if it means surrendering his rights. Because to him, luxury is not having to think about where the next meal is coming from. To him, living in luxury is having a roof over his head without having to go up and repair the roof or whatever, unless his master tells him to. Doesn't have to think. Just has everything provided for him. Issacharians, and I'm coining that word, Issacharians will not consider the collapse of the dollar. It's too painful for them. How many of you know Issacharians? They don't want to think about the fact that the dollar is declining. That's lost 32% since 2001, and they've got to make some decisions concerning that. It's too painful to think that America could collapse, because they're busy not having to think about, they're getting their regular check, their regular income, they're getting their regular subsidies, everything's being taken care of for them, and so they don't have to think about the next day, from one day to the next. Now I want to say something important here. Based on the authority of God's word, some of you need to let Issachar be. You spent hours, you spent days, you spent weeks and years, maybe it's a relative, maybe it's somebody you know, trying to get Issachar to be something that he's not. And Issachar was born to be a slave. He wants to be a slave. He's happy in his servitude. And let him be. And move on and educate someone who wants to know about freedom. Someone who's hungry to hear what we're preaching this morning. Somebody, if you came up to him and you taught him some of these truths, they would shake your hand and they would thank you and say, thank you so much for sharing this. I'm telling you, there's still people out there. Not everybody's an Issacharian. There are people that love liberty. There are people that want to know freedom. They just haven't been taught it. And we get so bogged down into trying to make Issachar something that he's not ever going to be. And we waste a lot of time trying to reach an Issacharian who, according to Genesis chapter 49 and Exodus 21, they want to be a slave. They don't want to have to think. Let them be. Reminds me of the apostle or the prophet says, Ephraim is joined to his idols. Let him alone. Shake the dust off your feet and go look for someone who wants to hear the truths of liberty under God. Now, I want to say something important. Before we close, let me close here. A few words to you believers. We're talking about a slave mentality, and that's not to be our mentality. The Christian is called to walk by faith, not by sight. See? The slave, all he wants to do is make sure that he's got his three meals provided for him, and he'll bear the yoke and bear the burden. More, if the Congress says more taxation, they just bear the burden without rising up. Congress says we're going to spy into your houses and, you know, through the Patriot Act, and we're going to come in anytime we want. They just open the door and say, well, I wish they weren't here, but guess it's the way it is. So they just let them come in. That's an Issacharian. But the Christian is called to walk by faith, not by sight. For the victorious Christian, liberty in Christ is their security. The slave seeks security through the three meals a day, three hots and a cot, right? The slave seeks security through three hots and a cot. We seek Jesus Christ, the author of liberty. And our rest, our security, is in knowing Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Our security is knowing that our hands and our lives are in the hands of an ever-kind providence. That's what we seek. That's what we seek. That's our liberty. Voluntary slavery to the state or man is not an option for the Christian walking in the perfect law of liberty. It's not to be an option for you and I that are trusting in Christ, that are our hope and is set and built on Him, and we're looking to Him day by day, and we know that that He will never leave us nor forsake us. So we'll not fear what men shall do to us. 1 Corinthians 7:23, Paul said, "You are bought with a price. Be ye not the servants of men." You've been bought with a price by the living God. You've been washed in His blood. You've been set free. You're to be a man or woman who thinks, who reads the Word of God, who reasons from the Word of God, who makes decisions based upon the wisdom of this law book. And you're bought with a price. Don't be the servants. The Greek word there is doulos, slave. Don't be slaves of men. I'm thankful that you here this morning, many of you have that understanding. You don't want to walk in that position of slavery and servitude. But you want to reason with the Word of God and understand the Word of God and make decisions based upon that. Heavenly Father, I've delivered that which I believe You had me to deliver, not knowing why, but we know it's Your Word, and we know that Your Word will not return void. So I pray that You would bless this, Your people, Lord. Strengthen them, encourage them. And Lord, may no one here be a servant of men or a slave to state, Lord, but may we walk in Your liberty. Lord, we recognize that this nation is very sinful at this hour. Father, we pray for revival, we pray for strength, we pray for remembrance, because remembrance begins restoration. So, Father, we know who You are. Our trust and our security and our hope is in You, and our life is in You today. Bless this people, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, folks, you've been listening to Pastor Warren Mark Campbell from the Church at Kaweah in the Commonwealth of Kaweah at Camp Kaweah here in Kaweah, California. How many times can I say Kaweah in one little blurb there? And that is an older sermon over 3 years ago. We don't have a date on it because it was before Lou was here making the recordings. Whoever did it didn't put the date on. Called The Slave Mentality and Freeing Yourself from the Slave Mentality. A lot of good stuff in there. I love the Issacharians, the people who willfully become slaves and wear their chains lightly upon themselves and lick the feet of the tyrants. And we see that all the time. And he talked about Ephraim turning people over to their idols. And what are you a slave to, folks? Are you a slave to not acknowledging the truth? I doubt it. If you're listening to Stronghold Radio and Liberty Tree Radio right now, I doubt you're someone who is a slave to ignorance. You're probably pretty well informed, but we all have those things. I jokingly put in there I'm a slave to meat and potatoes, specifically tater tots. And yes, if somebody can be a slave to drugs or a slave to a sexual addiction or a pornography addiction or some of those things, it's not that hard to make the stretch that you can be a slave to food, a slave to a sedentary lifestyle. I know that's something I've fought with. I'm going to answer somebody here. It's critical that you identify if something has an ankle hold on you or a toe hold on you. That's how Satan works, doesn't he? If you're addicted to money and the pursuit of money, the pursuit of working too much and ignoring your family. I didn't really have a family. I had a non-responsive ex-wife before our child was born, but I would put in 12-hour days because I hated going home. And I kidded myself and just said I wanted to be a hard worker. And then I went the other way after my divorce, and I was more of a person of leisure. I went and lived on a mountainside and became a hermit. So what is it that controls you in your life? Impurities that you put in your body, that seems to be the most common one. Impure thoughts you put in your mind, that's common. Or you could go the other way, is prepping. Prepping, are you a slave to prepping? Do you just spend your whole life preparing for whatever you think is going to be the trigger event that you don't enjoy life today? We're in a period of grace, and God doesn't want you to just be the ant. He doesn't want you to just store away for the rainy day. He wants you to enjoy the day that He has prepared for you. How do you deal with that? Do you, you know, don't frighten your family by, you know, being, you know, Sergeant Preparedness all the time. Just like I told you last Saturday, we all just hauled off and went to Sequoia National Park and watched Anthea go through her little junior park ranger training academy, something that was fun to do. It's good to take a family vacation tithe once in a while. You know, I say the only thing that you should be a slave to is your Lord Jesus Christ. You know why? Because He's a loving master that won't require that you give 110%. He wants you to enjoy your family. He gave them to you. He wants you to enjoy the things that you have, your home, your backyard. So the slave mentality is something that we willingly throw ourselves into these days. Although, if you listen to the first hour, it may not be long before they start rounding people up for the New World Order slaves. But I want you to think about what the pastor was talking about in this sermon. And it's key. It's a foundational point in your walk in salvation and being a Christian warrior. If you can't shake off the chains of slavery, whether you put them on yourself or someone else puts them on, they're still chains. They're still limiting you. My overweightedness is a slavery that I deal with, and I'm working on it. My health. I'm a slave to my health. I have to go to the VA all the time and a slave to the pills. I've allowed myself to become a type 2 diabetic. So think about these things. It's not just spiritual. It's physical. It's not just political. It's not just, you know, humanist things. It's everything. All right, what are you a slave to? And consider that. Next week, the pastor will be here. I don't know what he's going to talk about. Don't forget, Tuesday will be Steve Klein with Code 20. We're going to talk about some fun things he did when at an Earth Day event. And, of course, me, Dutch Jones, whenever I find the will and the storyline and the information, I will be on Liberty Tree Radio coming to you live from Stronghold Radio here at the Church at Cahuilla. Don't forget our website, dutchjones.info, dutchjones.info, that's dutchjones.info. We have a little chip in there. We need your financial help. We're not going to make it without you. We can't stay on the air. We can't expand. We can't even tread water without your help. We'll come up with another special for items for you to purchase, and it would be really great if...